Sometimes God just sets you up, you know, so everything just works out. So I had already been kicking around ideas for this homily, but then I was talking to a friend of mine, and he basically just gave me everything I needed, boom, this morning, right around midday. So there you go. But anyway, the title of the homily, just so you know, so you think that I actually did put some work into it. The title of the homily is, None of Us is the Standard of Holiness. Okay, that's the bottom line. None of us gets to determine, none of us is like, okay, this is the model. If I'm like Father Eric, okay, that's the standard. Or basically, it's not even that. It's just, I already am the standard, okay? Why am I saying that? Because, as Jesus says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and one who humbles himself will be exalted. That would also make a great title. That Jesus guy was pretty good. He said things right. Here's the thing. Jesus gives, frankly, what is a very amusing example in the gospel. But it's really not so far off from some of the stuff you find in daily life, okay? The gospel has the Pharisee, who's supposed to be the religious professional. What does the Pharisee do? Interestingly enough, if you look at the words, it says, the Pharisee took up his position up in the front. So he's like these people that sit in the front pew up in front of the Blessed Sacrament, right? Because they think they're better than everybody else. Not serious, just joking. But then he says the following. The Pharisee took up this position and spoke this prayer to himself. Interesting. He wasn't even really praying to God. He was basically just talking to himself about how great he was. And he begins, what is he doing? When he's talking to God, he's basically letting God know, just God, just in case you don't know how great I am, I'm going to let you know. Okay? Here's all the stuff that I do. Thank you, God, because I'm not like everybody else. I'm better than everybody else. Because Well, first of all, he doesn't even get to what he does. Here's what he thinks about everybody else. If you want to know what he thinks, he says, greedy, dishonest, or adulterous, or even like this tax collector. By the way, when you find yourself constantly complaining about other people, and don't tell me you don't do it because I hear you, but when you hear yourselves constantly complaining about other people, you're acting like the Pharisee. Man. Everybody else is greedy and dishonest and adulterous, or the tax collectors. So now, what do? I fast twice a week. Ho, ho, ho. I pay tithes. I wish that some of you guys would pay tithes, but you don't. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes on my whole income, and, well, that's what he does. He didn't actually say anything else that he does, but he's pointing out, he's saying, Lord, thanks for making me awesome, okay? And then the tax collector we know, who realizes he is a sinner, and says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, goes home justified, okay? Now, what does this have to do with real life? Well, let me rewind. If we want to go through life justifying ourselves, here's the problem. After a while, we will convince ourselves that what we are doing is okay. We don't actually convince anybody else. You don't convince the people who watch you and have to live with you and who recognize the stuff that you're doing that is messed up, and you certainly don't convince God. And I know people because as a priest, you know, sometimes you talk to somebody who's been away from the church, and they, Father, you know, I haven't been to church for so long, and I did this and this, but that's not really wrong. And I did this and the other, but that's not really wrong. And you know, well, if it's not so wrong, how can you keep mentioning it to me? Okay? And here's where the amusing stories come up. So I've got a friend, lives up in Westchester, and during the summertime, I met his mom. His mom is a piece of work. One of these little Italian ladies that, I'm sure she goes to Mass and does all the regular stuff, but she's convinced, like, She's convinced, like, I can go ahead and gossip. Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with gossiping. Yeah, there is. That's actually a sin. You want to pull out the conscience exam? Yeah, but God isn't going to think that's a bad thing. Well, you don't have to convince me. All you have to do is convince God. I mean, and she's, you know, we're talking to this lady, and she's not like she's an evil woman, but she's got certain sins that she's already determined to herself, this is okay. And when I go to my death, God is just going to be fine with that. And even her son is kind of laughing with her, but at the same time, he's like saying, Mom, you don't get to choose. Okay? At your judgment, it's not like God has to appease you. You're the one who has to answer to God. And you know what? You do not set the standard. And she said, yeah, but he wouldn't judge me badly just because I drink too much and because I gossip and because I do all these things. God certainly is not going to think that's anything wrong with it. Like, yeah, he is. You may as well be honest with yourself now. He's going to go a lot easier on you. I'm trying to help you. Okay? So here comes the whopper. The same guy has a neighbor that they've been trying to help. He's kind of an embittered, grew up Catholic, you know, was in the military, career military guy, and whatever reason, kind of got embittered. So they're trying to convince him, hey, because his health was really bad, they're trying to convince him, hey, you need to stop doing certain things over here, and maybe you need to go to confession. And they're trying to convince him of what's right and wrong and trying to help him out. And the guy's not having any of it because he's stubborn. So he literally said this. And he's talking about Jesus. Okay? And here's the funny thing. The guy didn't even realize the irony of what he said. So he's like, well, I mean, you know, the Bible says you're not supposed to do this here and you're doing it. And he's like, yeah, well, who died and made him boss? He actually said, well, now that you mention it, Jesus did die, and he already was boss, and God made him boss again, so if you really want to know. So then they're trying to convince him again. I don't even remember what the heck they're trying to convince him about. But the guy, and this, he actually says this, verbatim. What, does he have an ego? How come he always gets to be right? So now stop and think about this. You're talking about God. God, who is truth itself. One of the definitions of God is that he is truth. He is the author of everything. Absolutely everything that is made, he made. He knows absolutely everything. And this guy is going toe-to-toe with God like he's on some kind of an equal basis. Yeah, well, how come he's got such a big ego? How come he always gets to be right? You're like, are you serious? I mean, it's comical, this guy. Okay, so why am I going down this road? Because this is a humorous and a somewhat extreme example. We are capable of being that stupid. We are capable of convincing ourselves of so many things when we don't want to align ourselves, when we don't want to simply let God be God. When we want to determine, you know what, there are certain areas of my life that I just get to determine what I want to do. And God is just going to be okay with it. And why are we so bold? And imagine this. I'm hoping that these people, because I don't think either of them is an evil person, and I'm hoping God will give them the wake-up call before they die. But could you imagine? What kind of a gamble is that? Think about this. Okay, you know that you're going to live 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever, and after that comes eternity. Either God is right, or you are right. Okay? Now, if you are right, and you die, and you try to follow God's will, this is Pascal's famous wager. If you are right, and you die, and you've tried to do what you thought was God's will, what is the end result going to be? Worst case scenario, if there is no God, well, you die and not a whole lot happens. You died and, okay, well, whatever. If there is a God, and God is right about what is right, and you're trying to do his will, what is the consequence? Well, you get to go to heaven. You have an eternity that is great. Now, let's do the flip side. If you are wrong about the whole God thing, first of all, if you're wrong and God exists, and you've been living your life as if he doesn't exist, or if you simply are determined, by the way, we don't chew gum in church, just going to mention that because I see somebody back there again, just going to call you out every single time I see it, no gum in church. No, let's say you are wrong about saying, there is a God, but you know what, these things don't really matter. And then you get to your judgment and God says, yes, they do. What is the consequence going to be? Best case scenario, lots of purgatory. Worst case scenario, you go to hell. Do not pass go, do not collect $200. Okay, just as a gamble, what is the smart thing to do? You can go, okay, don't answer, just think it. Just as a gamble, when the consequences are eternal heaven or eternal hell or lots of purgatory, best case scenario. Okay, it is clear that the best thing we can do is try to listen to what God actually says is his will and align ourselves with it. So, and even people who are supposed to be religious professionals, if we're not humble, we can fool ourselves. And that's the tragedy. We can fool ourselves. We don't fool anybody else. We don't fool God. The only person that we fool when we are proud is ourselves. And at the end of the day, you can go through 50, 60, 70, 80 years of life, whatever, convincing yourself that you're the genius and everybody else is stupid. But when eternity comes around, there's going to be no hiding. And if you choose right, then you will be happy. And if you choose wrong, you are going to recognize and have all eternity to meditate on just how stupid you were. Have a nice Sunday vigil. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.